everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I am Kate Romero, your host for the evening, and I'd like to thank Don Newsome and BBS Radio for giving us this opportunity to use Spiritual Hollywood to make a difference in the world by using Hollywood and the media. And I have with me this evening Ilan McDowley, who is not what you would expect as a guest on Spiritual Hollywood, and hopefully you'll find him quite as surprising and wonderful as I do. He is an acupuncturist as well as something else. So what I'm going to do is launch into the part I'm most fascinated with about this man and what he is doing, and that is Project Triumph. Project Triumph, I'll just read a little background about that to you. The current conflict between Arabs and Jews in the Middle East has ruptured relations between the two groups, bitterly dividing them among geographic, cultural, and socio-political lines. Over time, each side has amassed a litany of complaints against the other, citing heartbreaking tragedies that seem to sear their very souls. In listening to both sides, there seems little hope of one hearing the pain of the other and coming to a resolution. Project Triumph, in their second year, which is today's revolution, is understanding, make peace happen, will bring Arab and Jewish teenage leaders from Israel and surrounding areas together in the spirit of intercultural collaboration to build a shared vision to take an active part in working toward a peaceful future. Project Triumph has a 10-year commitment to support young key influencers in rekindling the tradition of cooperative coexistence in their region of the world. And I think that is a fabulous thing to do. Also, Ilan McDowley has been living in California since 1982 after leaving Israel on an extended vacation after the first Lebanon War. He studied holistic medicine beginning in 1983 and received his acupuncture license in 1988. Ilan joined the Rotary Club of Newbury Park in 2002 and supported community services, Youth Interact, and International. He is married and has two children and lives in Newbury Park. Travels to Israel twice a year to teach acupuncture and Chinese medicine, and is completing a book on Yi Jing, I believe, if I'm not mispronouncing that, seasonal balancing and acupuncture. In his leisure time, he plays racquetball and rides his bike in the beautiful local mountains with his dog, Buffy. Welcome, Ilan, to my show, to Spiritual Hollywood, and I'd like to invite you to just say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone, and hello, Kate.
Thank you. I'm just so thrilled to finally have you on the show, and I'm so excited about what you're doing with the Rotary Club, and I believe that you were the brainchild of Project Triumph. Is that correct?
Yes, one of the fathers.
One of the fathers?
Yes.
And now it has many fathers and many mothers, which is what we want, yes?
Yes, that's
wonderful.
The most exciting
wonderful
part.
So one of my heart's desires, if I could speak candidly here, is conflict resolution globally, whatever it takes to get us there globally. And I believe that that starts with each one of us individually to resolve the conflict within ourselves that keeps us agitated and diseased and ill at peace and not centered and grounded in knowing who we really, really are. And it looks like what Project Triumph is doing is it's bringing these teenagers together and introducing them to the humanity of one another rather than their socio-political conflicts, and resolving that issue by having them live together for 2 weeks and sort out their different cultures and learn to get along with one another and appreciate, respect, and honor one another, and then go back to their various homes and instill this wonderful new healthy virus into their communities to hopefully sprout new peace and new ideas in their own communities. Is that correct, Ilan?
That is correct. I think you really touched it on the head.
Good.
By understanding that conflicts begin with the us being balanced, us being comfortable with ourselves,
mm-hmm.
Make us less vulnerable,
yes,
to go in and join a conflict.
Yes.
And what the first part of this program is to give these teenagers an experience who they are. And once they experience who they are, it's more comfortable for them to work within a group And whenever mm-hmm. they are comfortable working within a group, they can go out and do things out in the world. But the yes. first part is really to experience who they are.
Absolutely. And who they are made in the image and likeness of their creator. And, you know, once everybody in the world gets that, and I believe we're headed straight for that happening, and I do believe it's possible for all of us to get that. And when we do get that, you won't see gang members picking up a gun and aiming it at another person and shooting them, because it would be God picking up a gun and shooting at God. I mean, it's to me that simplistic and that complex all at the same time, in my opinion. And it is just a matter of us educating ourselves on who we really are, because we've had so much pressure from society and cultures and religion and all kinds of things that keep us from knowing the truth of who we are and why we are actually here. So my absolute most heartfelt acknowledgement to what you and the Rotary Program and all the fathers and mothers of this project are doing. And I'm sure you have some wonderfully insightful and touching stories to share with us on some of the things that take place when you bring these groups together.
Yes. Well, the stories that begin before they even come here, because the groups this year was the second year we brought a group. This year we brought 20 teenagers. They were 16 years old. Half of them were Arabs and half were Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Just for clarity, we began working with the population in the city of Haifa, which is the third biggest city in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
It's the northern part of Israel. It's the fourth city. And last year we brought 16 students, and 10 days after they returned, the Lebanon War started, the second Lebanon War.
Mm-hmm.
And Haifa was the city that was bombarded mostly. I don't know how many hundreds of missiles that fell inside the city. So it was amazing that from all the cities, the city that we chose to begin with was in the headlines of the newest conflict last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been getting a lot of emails from the students as they were sitting in shelters or out of the city at all, if their parents left the city. And they said that with everything that was going on, they still feel strongly about what they have learned, and it did not change their beliefs and their understanding that they don't want to join and to continue in this route. They want to choose to do something different.
So you've actually caused in every one of these 20 teenagers a consciousness shift that is permanent and not reversible.
In the first year there were 16, and I'd say that we heard from the majority of them. It's not that I think that we can change everyone, but I think if we can change many, it would mm-hmm. be wonderful.
Even one is well worth the effort.
Those students were chosen by their high school principals, and we asked, we didn't ask for academic grades, we didn't ask for art, we asked for leaders in their school, people that they can identify as leaders.
Mm-hmm.
We felt if we invest in those students or teenagers when they are 16-year-old, before they go to the army, before they completely get rigid in their thinking,
hardwired,
we can create we can add to a pool of more conscious people that can be future leaders in the country.
Yes.
You know, I think this is not a project that would give fruits in a year or in 3 years, but
mm-hmm.
I think in 10 or 15 years we
mm-hmm.
will see some effect from the hundreds of people that will go through this program. That's
mm-hmm.
what excites me, at least.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, to say that the 20 students had a consciousness shift, in my opinion, if I may, I cannot imagine a person going through an experience like that and not having a consciousness shift, Ilan, of some sort or the other that does change them forever and does soften them just a little bit, if not, you know. I know everybody has their own way of seeing everything, and everyone experiences their own experience the way that they do based on their own perspective and where they're at in life, and that all 20 students don't come out all equally the same, all trained, all shifted, all suddenly, you know, in a trance of peace. I understand that. But to have gone through this program for 2 weeks in the first place and experiencing other people getting it and understanding that their lights are coming on and they're waking up, they'll never forget that experience, and it may not have a great effect on them in that 2 weeks or in the next 2 years or in the next 5 years, but somewhere in their life it will kick in.
Yes, definitely. I agree with you.
It will kick in, and that's why I say all 20 of them had a consciousness shift, and every person you take through that program, it is of my opinion anyway, will experience some kind of a growth in their own timing. Mm-hmm. That will be very meaningful and worthwhile.
Yes, yes, for them, and you know, also for the supporting group of volunteers here.
Oh,
it was amazing to see how many people we had that heard about the program last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we give I think it's called a Peace Award for each person helping. And last year, we gave probably 25 or 30 of them. This mm-hmm. year, we gave over 100 because so many people in the community were touched by the local stories and by what they heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to be involved either in you know, the logistics of it. We did some fundraising to get the money,
mm-hmm.
or part of the program was for the students to be housed
mm-hmm.
over 1 weekend in the houses of people in the Conejo Valley, which is the Thousand Oaks area and Simi Valley.
Right.
And you know, people housed the students, and so many people here in America, and especially in this area, have so little first-hand knowledge of what teenagers in Israel are that they got an experience of being with them.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, very heartwarming to hear of Jewish families that contacted us and requested to host a teenager, but they requested to host a Muslim because they said, you know, we hosted Jews here before, we know them already, we would like to experience what it is like to be with a Muslim person.
Beautiful.
So it's not only the transformation that happens for the students, but also for the local people in here.
Absolutely.
You know, everybody that participated last year was on board this year, and they brought some friends. So it was wonderful to see the openness of the community to them.
Excellent. Yeah, that's what it's all about. And the Rotary Club, my business partner and I, Alex Schief, and I do something called quantum hypnotherapy, which is combining high-quality hypnosis with high-energy intuitive life coaching to bring a person back to their divinity in 1 2-hour session. And that's a big statement to make, but it's actually accurate and true and very, very effective. The way we got involved with the Rotary Club also was to be speakers at the Rotary Club, and that's how I found you, Cindy Belmonte.
Yes.
Who is, I believe tonight she is stepping aside as president of the
yes.
Simi Valley chapter, and has served all year as an excellent president, and she introduced me to you and thought
yes.
you would be a wonderful
yes.
guest.
Yes,
and
she was the president of the, in Simi Valley there's 3 Rotary Clubs. She's the president of the evening club.
Yes.
She's done a great job.
Nice.
It's a wonderful club.
Yes, it is, and we really enjoyed speaking there. And, you know, my partner and I were able to help many, many people through our quantum hypnotherapy just based on Cindy's efforts alone. So she's done a lot for transformation as well. And I just am looking so forward to seeing what is going on with Project Triumph in the next 10 years. I understand that you have a goal of putting hundreds and hundreds of people through these programs in the next 10 years. Is there anything that you can tell us about that some of our listeners could help support with?
Well, you asked for my website, and I provided you the...
Absolutely. Let me please, and excuse me for not giving that out yet, but I was just so excited to get you on the air. It's www.projecttriumph.org. That's www.projecttriumph.org. So go ahead and pull that up on your computers and take a look around. And there's a little video clip there called Interfaith Dialogue that you can look at later.
This website was developed, again, we had so many amazing miracles with this project. You know, we did, in the first year, we were all novice. We said, that's a great idea, let's follow up with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this banner done, and you know, in a banner shop. And two women from my club went to pick up the banner. They said, we'll help and we'll go and pick up the banner. And they went to a local tea shop we have here.
Mm-hmm.
A beautiful tea shop and in Thousand Oaks, and they sat and they had some tea, and the owner approached them and said, what's this what's this Project Triumph you're talking about? And they told him a little bit about the project, and he said, you know, my brother would be really interested. So his brother Joe ended up calling us, and he's a filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, I'm fascinating about that. I just finished a project. I'm starting another project in 3 weeks. If you'd provide me with the film, I'll be available, and I'm going to be in the airport to video the kids coming in.
Great.
And Joe has been an angel from the moment we met him. He volunteered, you know, his heart, not only his camera and his talent, but his heart, and produced a wonderful, beautiful video. You know, summarized in like 5 minutes. I think that you can also see it on the web, or for sure you can see it in on YouTube. You can
yes.
People can go to Project Triumph and see the video. It's
on
beautiful.
YouTube.
And so Joe also took on the website and created this website that people are looking at.
Oh, Joe did that for you.
Yeah, he's...
That's great.
And we had so many people, just like your experience with Cindy,
mm-hmm.
We had so many people come and, you know, offer help with the, as I said, with hosting people,
mm-hmm.
with driving people around, taking
mm-hmm.
them to different activities. Financially, people came to our fundraising. We had about 140 people come to the fundraising and ate wonderful Middle Eastern food.
Mm.
They listened to a great musician by the name of Yuval Ron. I don't know if you're familiar with Yuval, but Yuval wrote the music to this movie that won the Oscar as a short film, West Bank Story, which is a spoof on West Side Story, which is about the conflict between, or a war between two falafel stands, a Palestinian and an Israeli one. A very sweet movie that won the Oscar this year.
Oh, that sounds great.
So he volunteered and he came and played for the kids last year. And he's another guy that plays in his band came this year and participated in a drum circle. And to see the faces of the people that were touched, you know how exciting it is work with youth. They are so uplifting and so energetic.
Yeah.
To see the people's faces is great. But
mm-hmm.
to see the faces of the kids, you know, we had the... You asked me about miracles. I don't know about miracles, but I can say we had an Israeli guy from... They are both... Everybody is from Haifa, which is, you know, like everybody can be from Hollywood, for example, but different neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And an Israeli guy, Dekel, stood up in the final party and said, you know, I lived in Haifa for 16 years, and I never, ever spoke to Arabs before. And those are people that live, you know, a couple of miles away from them.
Mm-hmm.
But culturally, they are so separated. They go to different schools. They have different activities after school. So they don't get a chance to see that those Arabs are as beautiful, as entertaining, as exciting,
mm-hmm.
as
talented.
Reliable,
yeah.
As their fellows, and sometimes more.
Mm-hmm.
And neither the Arabs get to see that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we have professional trainers that come and work with the kids. Those are CEO2 that have done so much for this project. It's, you know, I can't start even to thank them, but they put their heart and their talent. So they thought about it would be good to do a survey prior to the kids coming, where they sent to Israel, and the kids could answer it being anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do they think about they had several categories: Jews, Arabs, Christian, Muslims, American, and they had to. They were just they had to fill in the blanks. What do they think about this? What about their behavior, etc.
Mm-hmm.
It was fascinating to read what 16-year-old can think and feel about something without knowing it. Just mm-hmm. the influence of the society on them.
Can you give me a few examples of that, Ilan? Would you mind?
Well, they can say, you know, we don't know who answers, but they can say that. All Jews are greedy. All Jews look only to use people for money.
Mm-hmm.
All Jews want to throw the Arabs away. Or all Arabs are terrorists. All Muslims are terrorists. All Muslim kids are brought up to be this. All the Arabs want is to throw the Israelis mm-hmm. to the ocean. Some of them say that all Jews are smart and take care of their families. Some people wrote about America being naive or being thinking that with money they can influence things, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
And after they do this process where they get to explore who they are, they get to explore what is their passion. They get to explore what is their gift to the world, and after they work a little bit with other people within their group, they get to go over those questions again. And you know, those are called negative beliefs. Those are beliefs that narrow the way that you approach the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they let go of those negative beliefs. They
mm-hmm.
see the others as human beings and not as a Muslim or as a Christian or as an American,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, ultimately what will bring peace in here. It may be very naive to say.
No, it is not.
I do believe that this is, you know, experiencing humanity is what I don't say that people will never pick up a gun, because, you know, sometimes God, with its wisdom and everything, still has earthquakes and still has storms and still have drought. But you don't automatically go to the gun. You see if there's another way of having more understanding with another person.
And that is beautifully said, Ilan. And it is exactly what the point I was attempting to make is: you will think twice when you know who you are, and you will think twice when you know who your brother is. Because we are all connected. We all are basically one. We come from the same place. And we all are, in my opinion, a big family. And it is possible that this family can become functional. I do believe it, and I do not feel it's naive. I feel that it is, unless we get our collective consciousness to wrap our minds around that, even if we have to hypnotize ourselves to believe it to be so, that is feeding into a collective consciousness of solution rather than pollution. Because the way you think is the world you create. And the more people we get thinking along these lines, the more collective consciousness is going to aim it at having a resolution and everybody being able to see one another as brother and sister. And I do believe that that is possible. And I'm seeing it happen all around me in subtle ways. But the more I see it, the more I know it's possible, and what we think about expands, and what we focus on grows. And what you're focusing on and what you're thinking on and teaching these teenagers to think and focus on is the most important thing and why we are here. And bless you and everybody involved, the Rotary Club of Newberry Park, the Rotary Club of Haifa and Haifa District, the Rotary Club of Thousand Oaks, the Rotary Club of Simi Sunrise, Simi Valley, Westlake Village Sunrise, Westlake Village, Rotary Club of Moore Park, Rotary Club of Camarillo, Conejo Valley, and Simi Sunset, and Warner Center are your partners right now. Is that correct?
Yes, that's
and
really
everybody
huge.
Else who's about to jump on board, because I'm telling you, they are.
It's a huge list.
They're on their way.
Just wonderful. Just before I went to Israel in May, I went to speak to the Rotary Club of Westwood.
Mm-hmm.
They meet in a beautiful building, which is the faculty building, and I spoke to that club, which is a nice club, mm-hmm. and they said they are interested. In July, I'll go to speak to the Rotary Club of Malibu.
And, great.
You know, this Rotary has many wonderful things that it's done, that it has done and it is doing. It's a 100 years old service organization.
Mm-hmm.
And this project touches so many hearts in the Rotary organization that it's a joy to be around such a positive and a supportive people. But it's not only the Rotary Club. You know, we had the support from the Jens Foundation. The Jens family is a family that owned a lot of land in the beginning of Thousand Oaks in the 60 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they heard, Larry Jens heard about the program and supported that financially. The Jewish Valley Alliance is supporting this. And, you know, we approached several people in the entertainment industry, and we hope to receive funds from them. You know, if we have some more funds, we can bring more kids. And we have some other plans. We thought that, you know, you go to those seminars or you do those experiences of expanding your consciousness, but then you go into a crowded bus or you go into the streets and slowly this whole thing is peeling away from you,
mm-hmm.
if you don't have local support. So, you know, if we had some funds, we would like to send those trainers that have worked with the kids every 3 years to work with the parents of the students, so they can be supported at home with a group that already went, with a group that just came back this year, and the next year's group. So to use their time in Israel.
That is so brilliant. That is so brilliant. And if I may compare it to what's just coming to my mind right now, there's a show called Intervention where my client is the interventionist on the show. It's on A&E every Friday night at 10 o'clock. And it's to intervene with people who are on drugs or alcohol or have gambling addictions or any kind of addiction that is upsetting their family and their lives, and many of them life-threatening. So what the interventionists will do is come in and train the family on how to go about the intervention and how to be with the person who has been sent into treatment, so to speak, and how to incorporate them back into the home and offer actually a functional support system for them that will keep them on the straight and narrow and keep them in the mindset of therapeutic healing. But the family must also be trained, if that's making any sense at all to you, in making that comparison. But when one family member goes through a transformation, it does absolutely and unequivocally help tremendously to have the entire family enlightened as to what has gone on in that child or that family member so that they can support it. And it spreads exponentially throughout the community the more that you do that. So to even think of that on top of everything else that Project Triumph is doing, I'm very, very excited for the future of your program. I'm very, very excited for the future of our world and our teenagers. And what a wonderful place to start. And you know, what if we got this into the grade schools and started this way of thinking there as well? But to begin where you're beginning is a wonderful place to start, because these are young adults.
Well,
and they are just about to become hardwired.
Yes.
And you're catching them in time.
You know, the students say, when they go back to Israel, they commit to work on a community project that involve coexistence for a year.
Great.
So I'm just bringing it up when you speak about grade school, because one of the projects that they took to do this year is to be instructors in the camps that the local municipality of Haifa, together with the Rotary Club of Haifa, is putting together for youngsters, for 6 to 10-year-old kids. So those students that have this, you know, better understanding of how to be with the younger kids, from a place of knowing themselves, would have an influence on them. That's one of their projects. Another project is they took upon themselves to start interact clubs in the local high schools, which are clubs, again, that are about community service, but they will come from this place of working in cooperation and coexistence with the Arab population, both the Muslims and the Christian. That's the second project that they took upon themselves. They were divided into four groups of five students each, and each group took a project. Another project was to bring more awareness to the people in Haifa. So they spoke, or they are in the process of speaking to the municipality of Haifa to give them like a support, a huge supporting wall, where they can create a mural or a huge painting that would reflect those ideas of coexistence and working together with the others.
That is so beautiful. That is so wonderful.
Since this project is a volunteer project, of course, money is something we need. But it was really imperative for us to find a good partner in Israel. Otherwise, we needed somebody in Israel to be there to support the students, to help with implementing those programs, with helping them with connections with the municipality, etc., etc.
And follow.
And the Rotary Club there already have met with the educational department in Haifa, and they got the hours that the students are spending on those community projects to be part of their curriculum of studies, so that helps them quite a bit.
Oh, yes.
Because it was a project in Haifa, and because it's something that none of us have done before, we wanted to learn how to do it in Haifa. But the bigger plan is that within, not next year, but the year after next, we will take it to the surroundings of Haifa, to Nazareth or to places that are still in the northern part of Israel, but they are not in Haifa itself. And hopefully in five or six, in the fifth or sixth years, we can go already to the occupied territories, to the Jenin area, etc. But logistically, it is much harder because, as I said, the students come here for 2 weeks, and then they commit to do their projects for a year. But prior to coming here, they spend 6 months where they meet once a month, and towards the end twice a month, to get to know each other, to get to understand the different cultures. They get they invite each other to their homes, etc., etc. So logistically, it's a little harder to do it with the places that are farther away, especially if the environment is not so good and they can close the border. The whole project can go kaput.
Yes.
Because the students cannot make it from the Western Bank to the meeting places.
Yes.
So we hope that, magic happens with this, and that when we are ready to expand it, the political climate will allow for it.
Absolutely, and the universe will show up to support it in every way that you could possibly imagine and have not yet imagined. And I see it happening. I see it as done. My heart is quickening as we have this conversation, and I'm just so moved, touched, and inspired by the fact that it was thought of, that, you know, at first it became a thought, and then it became a conversation, and then everybody got on board, and it's only really just starting to become, it's becoming, and there's so much more that will be happening from this. And I actually told a documentary filmmaker about you and Project Triumph. His name is Mickey Willis. I don't know if he's contacted you. Do you know if he wants
to speak? Not yet, but you know that the right time will come and the phone will ring.
And he's actually doing, I was one of his judges a couple of years ago for a project called Elevate Hollywood. And it was short films that were made in 48 hours to uplift consciousness and uplift humanity.
Yeah, I think I heard about it. Yeah.
You've heard about it?
Yeah, I think I heard about it.
Yes, that's Mickey Willis. And I told him about you, and he was fascinated. And I just need to get your DVD over to him because I'm sure he's so busy right now doing many, many things that are just as extraordinary as what it is that's in your heart to make a difference in the world, that if you were to get to me another DVD, I'll bet you I could get that to Mickey and have him contact you and offer you support in ways maybe neither of you have thought of yet.
Sure.
And I would love to make that connection if I can.
Sure, I will send you another DVD.
Thank you for that. Wonderful. And that'll be my little small thing I can do, you know, besides having you on the show and reaching every person who's listening now. I know we have a lot of Rotary members listening tonight who aren't at their meetings. And I'd like to say hello to every one of you. And thank you for the great work that you're doing and the hero's heart that each one of you have that got you involved in the Rotary Clubs and the support that you're offering Project Triumph and other things like it and all the future things you will dream up, because there are many, many things that need to be done, and we do have our work cut out for us, do we
That's
not?
True. That's true. There's many, many projects that everybody's doing, Rotary Clubs and other service
Chambers of Commerce.
Hmm?
Uh-huh. All kinds of wonderful things, and there's a momentum that just cannot be stopped, and I'm just thrilled by that. What a wonderful time to be alive.
Yes,
it really is. And speaking of being alive and feeling good, let's talk a little bit more about your acupuncture background, Elon, and just give our listeners a little thumbnail view of what inspired you to become an acupuncturist. Besides your wanting everybody to feel wonderful.
You know, it did come from when I came from Israel, I was in a completely different world. I was in the business world. And I came here, as you said, on an extended vacation after the Lebanon War,
mm-hmm.
Where I was a soldier. So I needed several months to relax and forget all what was there. And then I went and decided, you know, I'll go and study massage work. And I went to study in a wonderful school in Santa Monica and got fascinated by, you know, the connection between the body and the mind and how the way that we think influence the way we stand and we approach the world, and how softening one will improve the other. And I've done that, you know, for a few years. And studied more and started being involved in the school, helping to teach, and acupuncture was just starting then. It was the early 80s, and
mm-hmm.
the first schools were forming, and I decided, you know, let me check it out. I was not as pulled towards the chiropractic. I think something in the Eastern philosophy attracted me.
Mm-hmm.
I was involved in a spiritual path that I still follow now, and there was some similarities between, you know, seeing divinity and letting the person explore their own divinity through the process of body work or later acupuncture.
Mm-hmm.
So I studied acupuncture and worked in Hollywood for many years. I had an office on the corner of Hollywood and La Brea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in that time you had to wear a bulletproof vest and a hard hat to go to Hollywood.
Yes, I can relate.
Yeah, there was a lot of drugs and a lot of prostitution everywhere.
Oh, my gosh.
And I felt, you know, compelled to go there, to start an office there, because there were so many acupuncturists in Santa Monica.
Uh-huh.
And I said, that's not where we are needed. We should go there.
Right.
So I went there and started a wonderful practice.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it was towards the late 80s by then.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of HIV was everywhere.
Yeah.
So I was involved with starting the first HIV clinic in Jeffrey Goodman Clinic, the Gay and Lesbian Center.
Right.
And so many people, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people,
sure.
Fight so strongly, and many of them lose and die.
Right.
It was heartbreaking.
Of course.
That time was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And you know, continued working. Thank God that those antivirals became more popular and saved so many lives then.
Yes.
And as my kids became older, I wanted to give them a little better schools. And to do that, you either pay most of your income to private schools or you move out of LA to a place where the school system is free and better. So we moved to the Thousand Oaks area and bought a house in Newbury Park and bought a practice here in Simi.
And your children are Matthew and Daniel?
Yeah, my children, Matthew is 17. He's going to be a senior in high school.
Wow.
And my daughter, Dania, is going to be a sophomore.
Wow.
So they're 2 years apart.
What a wonderful age. And you have a boy and a girl, and you're so blessed.
Yes.
Very blessed. And your wife is Leslie?
She's an acupuncturist as well.
Yes, wonderful.
She does wonderful work. She does she does more work with color and sound therapy. She's
really?
Very, very gifted and very patient. And she attracts, you know, different. She attracts more. She works a lot with children, and she works. She's much gentler. She's English, so she's much gentler than me. you know, we are really the example of the yin and the yang,
yes.
Or how two opposites make a perfection.
Yes, yes. Balance. You bring balance to each other.
I was in Israel, as I said, in May. I go there every 6 months to teach. And I spoke about, you know, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the class, I started talking really personally about our life and our relationship, and how now, after being married for 18 years, I understand that these differences can also create such strong bond and such strong whole. A whole relationship or a whole the couple becomes very strong when they are so different.
Yes.
As long as I remember to say you're right, dear.
as long as you remember to say that, yes. So your wife is involved with color and sound work.
Yes.
A little more than acupuncture.
She does acupuncture as well,
but combined
she does it. Well, she uses, you know, color and sound on she uses tuning forks.
Oh my gosh, I just bought tuning forks yesterday for my work, for the quantum hypnotherapy, because I believe that it's very, very helpful with bringing the person back into harmony.
Exactly. So she uses them in some acupuncture points, which is, you know, another use. You know, we have so many tools, and everybody, according to their inclination, uses them.
Yes, you're drawn to what it is your gifts are, and
yes.
You just automatically start doing those things.
Yes.
So she works a lot with children then?
She works a lot with children. She worked a lot with allergies. You know, we've been practicing now for nearly 20 years, so the practice is very stable. And
do you mind if I give the information on your clinic?
I don't mind at all. If there's anybody in the Simi area, welcome. If you have to come from LA, it's
and even
stressful.
If they're not in the Simi area, I think it would be absolutely worth the drive to come from anywhere to see the both of you.
Thank you.
It's the Acumen Health Clinic, Acumen Health Clinics, and they're at 2045 Royal Avenue, and that's suite number 101, Simi Valley, 93065. And their office number is 805-527-2754. And I'll give that phone number again. It's 805-527-2754. And this is the Acumen Health Clinics. Ilan Migdali is the acupuncturist, and his lovely wife, Leslie, is an acupuncturist as well. And to recap, works with color and sound and children and allergies, and I'm sure the two of you can cover anything that comes at you. You'll find a way to help a person with it, even if you've never experienced it before. I just strongly sense that about the two of you.
Thank you.
A force to be reckoned with.
Thank you. You mentioned before the word the I Ching. I'm sure you're familiar with the I Ching. The I Ching is the book of change in Chinese medicine. It involves the.
Oh, I really slaughtered how I said it, didn't I?
Okay. I wrote it differently.
I said it phonetically. I said it the way it looks like. So it's called the I Ching, yeah?
Yeah. The I Ching, it's 64 hexagrams, which are a combination of six lines, either a full line or a broken line.
Mm-hmm.
And they relate. You know, many people use the I Ching to predict what would happen or to choose a direction to go, to make a decision in important parts of their lives or important times of their lives.
Right.
There's also a way that not many people are aware to use the I Ching for the purpose of acupuncture. When you divide, there's different hexagrams that are more favorable for healing, and some of them are more powerful during the summer, some are more powerful during the winter. Today is an auspicious day. Today we changed the patterns from the midsummer, or the time between seasons, to summer. So today is the first day that I started treating people with treatments that are more geared toward the summer. So that's a specialty that I have, and that's what I go and lecture about in Israel and other parts, how to apply the I Ching to
changing
to enhance your health, or how you can use those hexagrams to balance yourself in different seasons of the year, which to me is a fascinating subject, but to most of the people it's complete Chinese.
Yeah.
Even to the Chinese themselves.
Yeah. Well, tell me if I have an understanding of acupuncture in itself is when the needle is placed in the certain places of the body where the healing is needed to take place. I have an understanding that I thought of myself, and I just want to clarify it to see if there's any sense to it at all, is when you place the needle there, that causes blood to rush to that spot to heal that area. So it's like any injury, the blood rushes to that spot, which is why it'll swell up or whatever when you hurt yourself, the body's way of trying to heal that spot. So when you place the needle in that spot, in that area, the blood rushes there to try to heal that needle point. And so it's bringing healing blood flow to an area that desperately needs it. Is that correct?
That's one way of looking at it, yes. Yes.
Okay.
You can continue in saying that when you put a point somewhere, a certain pulse goes through your spine, and that would be an explanation that explains why acupuncture is so beneficial for pain. Is that you give this micro stimulation there, and this stimulation is too strong to go through to allow more than only that stimulation to go through the spine, so a gate closes and we don't perceive the pain anymore. If you repeat it enough time, the body will not perceive the pain. That's one theory called the gate theory. There's other theories that say that acupuncture promotes the release of certain chemicals in the brain, that internal opiates that would mask pain.
Like
as well,
dopamine.
There's you know, so many different ways of perceiving. You can also create a lot of improvement without needling points in a specific. Let's say if you have back pain, you don't need to needle points on the back. Sometimes if a person has back pain, it's more painful for them to lie on their stomach and have their back needled. Many times people are in worse situation, so sometimes it's more beneficial for them to lie in a comfortable position on their back with their knees elevated to relax the back, and then you can use points on their hands or their feet or on their head
to use an
image for the area of their back. As you said, everything is tied to each other.
Right.
And you know, there's a famous poem by Blake where he says to see the world in a grain of sand. If you can have the ability and the understanding how to see the whole body in your palm or in your arm or in your leg, and you can create miracles with that. So that's what you know, as I practice longer, that's what starts fascinating me.
Yes, and I've just discovered the true meaning and the true powerful effects and miraculous effects of chiropractic, which I know is chiropractic stimulates the body's ability to heal itself. And Dr. John Holland is my I like to call him my psychiropractor, because he's much more than a chiropractor.
Good, and you're lucky.
And I do believe, like you said so beautifully and eloquently, that body work, acupuncture, and chiropractic, and any modality or methodology you care to use, is just one more way of exploring your divinity and returning to it. And in quantum hypnotherapy, which my partner and I do, there is nothing that quantum hypnotherapy cannot improve or remove. And it's such an honor and a pleasure and a thrill to know that you have made such a difference for another person when they're hurting and when they've lost touch with themselves and their true nature, and they've really lost that connection to the unified field of love. You bring them back to that and get them into taking care of themselves and practicing wellness so that they don't get sick in the first place anymore. So I can absolutely understand the richness of your life with Leslie and doing the work that you both love in the Project Triumph, and your two teenagers having you and Leslie as their role models are making such a difference to the two of them. And, you know, everything feeds off of everything else. And if you're not part of the solution, you are part of the pollution. And I'm seeing a whole lot of solution coming out of the Migdali family. So thank you for first of all, listening to that small voice that became very loud in you and acting upon it and bringing that into the community and doing something about it and allowing others to contribute to you while you have an opportunity to contribute to the world. And what you're doing is a global thing. It is a global thing. And it is going to be one of the healthiest, most beautiful viruses that one could hope for. And you know, and not to suggest that you should stop, but even if you didn't do it another time, you've already made such a difference just by what you've already done. So, you know, thank you again for that.
And I want to thank, you know, all the people that were such a wonderful support.
Mm-hmm.
And such a they also heard this voice, and they didn't say, I want to watch TV, or I'm going to, you know, do something else. I'll do something about it. And people contributed the hundreds of hours of their time, thousands of dollars from their pocket, and a lot of their prestige by diving in and being involved.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's really how you experience life.
Absolutely. That's how you experience yourself and each other, by contributing to one another. And it takes a lot of generosity to receive, just as much as it does to give. And we're coming up on the close of the Spiritual Hollywood Hour, and I'd like to thank you again, Ilan Migdali, for being my guest this evening. It has been most invigorating and inspiring to have this conversation with
you.
And thank you, everyone, as Ilan said, for all of your contributions to what Ilan is taking out of his heart and putting into the world. And thank you, Don Newsom and BBS Radio, and Seth, for your wonderful contribution to Spiritual Hollywood and giving us this platform to make a difference in the world by using media and by using Hollywood. And just in closing, I'd like to thank the listeners who are listening tonight. If you would like to check out Quantum Hypnotherapy, it's at www.quantumhypnotherapy2.com. And if you'd like to check out my management company, what we're up to, it's www.guardianangelmanagement.com, all spelled out, no spaces. And I'd love it if everyone would just take a deep breath, stand up really straight, and love yourselves. And thanks again, Ilan, for being my guest. And good night, everyone. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.